Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies Podcast, an all-star break special edition of the Thunder Buddies Podcast. We have no final score. The final score is Hamidou Diallo 1, rest of the dunk contest field 0, because Hamidou Diallo is your 2019 Slam Dunk Contest Champion. I am on the line with Maddie Lee. I'm in Charlotte at the All-Star break. Maddie Lee is in Oklahoma City. Maddie, what did you think of Hamidou Diallo's performance last night? I thought he showed the perfect combination of execution and exuberance, which is literally what I wrote last night.
Yeah, I feel like so much the part that we don't talk about with the dunk contest is the whole, like, the performance of it. And he really embraced, like, getting the crowd riled up and, like, straight up acting. Like, he did the thing. If you haven't seen his dunk, what are you doing with your life? The Superman dunk. But he starts out having them, like, getting someone to bring a ball card out, and then is standing there and, like, pretends to be thinking, and he's like, that's not big enough, and then brings out Shaq, and it was a lot of fun. That was definitely the best dunk of the night, and it happened early on, but fantastic, lots of fun. I love the dunk contest.
It was cool to see him kind of come out of his shell a little bit, because we're around him a lot and he's usually not that type of guy necessarily. He's pretty low key. He's not flashy, and I think that's what kind of, those are some of the attributes that I think made him appealing to the Thunder in that regard, because he's pretty mature, considering he's 20 years old, and he showed that, you know, in his game to start the season. He was a guy who didn't look like a rookie. He looked like a guy who was going to be taking some of Terrence Ferguson's minutes. Now he's obviously, you know, had some of that you know, typical rookie struggle since the strong start to the season, as teams have started to figure him out. But, you know, this was a guy who came into the Thunder organization with a lot of poise. And I think that underneath that poise, he's kind of hiding this showman. And, you know, you wrote a story about this, about how back in 2016 he had a ridiculous dunk contest that, you know, kind of put him on the map, so to speak. But, this is kind of bubbling under the surface with this guy. He's really explosive. He's really exciting. Just in the, from a media standpoint, he kind of keeps it pretty even keeled.
Yeah. Well, so the dunk that I referenced in that story, go check it out, newsok.com, was actually one that came in the flow of Alamo Day, which is essentially like an all-star game type thing for high schoolers in the tri-state area. But he also had a dunk contest that also featured Zion Williamson, who won that. So I mean, he said to you guys, didn't he, that like part of the calm and the poise comes from being from New York, basically. Didn't he say something along those lines?
Yeah, he said it's the New York in him, which was pretty funny. And then you know, he was great in that post game, and he also made allusions to basically, you know, wanting to come back and do the dunk contest next year because he had some dunks saved up that he didn't get to use. So
yeah,
he kind of teased us actually too. He was like, "Hey, I got some dunks saved up," you know. And
I feel like, you know, both the poise and that showmanship can both be from New York, because he, you know, he's in all of these, like I said, the dunk contest and Alamo Day and all these like big deal showcases in New York. And I talked to one of his AAU coaches, and he was just saying like, yeah, like he was so well known that he would literally have just like adults pulling him aside in the street being like, oh my gosh, Javi, can we get a picture, at like 16 years old. That's crazy to me. And so, you know, he's not, you know, now we see him as a rookie and a guy who's trying to get his career started in the NBA, but like he has been under the spotlight and thrived in it before, so this was nothing new to him.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, he put on a great performance. And
although that setting was, let's be clear, that's huge.
What?
Just being at on live TV, doing a one-on-one thing in a stadium of people all watching just you.
Yeah, that's like, nerve-wracking. And I think, frankly, a lot of those guys cracked under the pressure because Diallo was really the only guy who executed his dunks for the most part first time, got it right, didn't have to rerun or...
Did John Collins have to redo any of his...
He should have because he broke that damn plane. oh my goodness. That was when John Collins was setting up that dunk, God bless him. Like, his intent was great because he was honoring the Tuskegee Airmen, and then they bring out this big Wright Brothers-esque plane because the Wright Brothers are from North Carolina and whatever. And I'm just like, I'm talking to the guys next to me on press row. I'm like, if he breaks this plane, I'm going to just die laughing. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I hope that plane didn't come from a museum. Like, how much is that plane worth? What are we doing? What does this become? Then he spends 2 minutes going back and forth between the goggles and the scarf and the hat. He's confused. He doesn't know if he wants to be a Tuskegee Airman or he wants to just be like a Rocketeer or I don't know what's going on. So... basically, John Collins killed the dunk before the dunk even happened because he went through. He wasn't prepared. He was not properly prepared to execute the dunk. And then, of course, he trips on the plane going up for the dunk, executes the dunk, breaks the plane, which he should have got deducted points for. We need to start putting point deductions on. This is my one All-Star Dunk Contest rule, which is the only rule I will have because, frankly, you shouldn't put a lot of parameters on the dunk contest. It's not that big of a deal. When guys go up for dunks and they don't actually do a dunk or the ball slips out of their hands, they should be – every time they do that, that should be a point. That should be a point from the judge that you can't award the dunkie. So basically, if Dennis Smith goes up there five times and doesn't execute his dunk – the high he should be able to get from the...
Not a theoretical.
Yeah, like the high he should be able to get from a judge is a 5 because he's not executing a dunk. So, like, you're wasting time, and two, you're not executing the dunk. So I thought it was ridiculous that in the final round, like, Diallo had to sweat more than he really needed to because Dennis Smith goes at least 4 times. He goes up, doesn't execute the dunk with Dwayne Wade, and then he finally gets it done, and they give him a 50 after it took him 5 tries to get the dunk done. And I'm like, wait a minute, like, what? Like, hold on, man. Like, we have to account for the entirety of the process. Like,
let's be honest, the judging in the final round is always a little wonky because basically what they're always trying to do is have it be close at the end and have it be exciting. And like, even if he had made that dunk on the first try, it wasn't as impressive as Hami's dunk over Shaq. And so for them to get the same score is funny.
The judging in the final round was very International Olympic Committee-esque. It was poor. I feel like Clyde Drexler might have received some under-the-table money from James Dolan and the New York Knicks. I'm not sure, but I have a hunch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is
the conspiracy
Buddies podcast. Conspiracy Buddies podcast. Hamidou Diallo should have won in a landslide because he was the only guy who could actually get dunks to go into the hoop, which is the entire objective of the dunk contest. Unbelievable.
I did like, I think my favorite dunk was Hami's Superman dunk. Runner up though was actually Miles Bridges when he did the like 360 off the backboard. That one was good. And I also am a person who like I would score anything that has to do with doing a 360 through the legs, that sort of thing, higher than just like jumping over things. Although jumping over Shaq and catching yourself with your elbow is still
that was impressive.
One of the most amazing dunks I've seen in the dunk contest.
I also learned that the move that he did was called the honey dip. Apparently, honey dip. Apparently, I'm not. I'm not up on my slam dunk contest knowledge because Vince Carter, I think, deemed that the honey dip probably almost 20 years ago. I had someone on Twitter suggest elbow pit, and I thought that, I think that's a much better name for it. I'm gonna call it the elbow pit dunk. And no, it was well executed. I thought the Westbrook dunk, where Westbrook bounced it off the backboard, was really well executed.
It was. And he did what people, I think it's, you can't really tell in real time. He did that with his offhand. I was left-handed.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I guess he was kind of running from that left side when he did it, because he was running from, like, behind. He's running from the baseline. So he was running from the left baseline.
I mentioned this on Twitter, but he did that when we were after shooting around in New Orleans. And I like, saw a flash at the corner of my eye. Didn't really get to see it. I was sitting on the bench next to Raymond Felton interviewing him for a different story. And everyone just went wild. And you have, like, Russell Westbrook was probably more excited about it than anywhere else in the room. And it, like, completely derailed my interview because Raymond Felton was just, like, in shock. And then, of course, I'm like, what happened? And he re-described it to me. And I was like, wow, that would be really cool to see. So I was glad that I actually got to see it.
Wait, was this in New Orleans?
This is New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah, that's where Hami said that's the only time he practiced that dunk with Westbrook was they did it once, a shoot around in New Orleans.
Yeah, and they only did it once when I saw it. So.
Crazy. And the funniest thing to me about that dunk is when he brings Westbrook out, I was thinking to myself, okay, this is going to go one or two ways. Westbrook is going to nail this, and Hami's going to get a great dunk. Or Westbrook is going to throw this pass very poorly many times, and we're going to get all of the shooting jokes on Twitter. And I was like, just make this work, Russell. Just do it right so we can just move on, and Diallo can win this thing, and we can get on about our lives. And Russell got it first time. So I was maybe that's a sign going forward that Russell Westbrook's shooting percentages are going to improve in the second half of the season because he threw a spot-on pass to Hamidou Diallo. Now, Hamidou Diallo is also freakishly athletic to where he could adjust and catch whatever Russell probably would have thrown. But creative dunk. Great job by both parties. I was happy for the execution of that play. It was very good.
I always think it's impressive when guys bring out guys who they like, who aren't necessarily throwing passes all the time to throw their lot. Like, that's risky. So the J. Cole dunk was really fun.
And it was fun. But again, J. Cole's not used to throwing alley-oop dunks, man. Like J. Cole messed up the first time. He threw it too high. And you could even see in the beginning when they were like, when he was trying to instruct him, like, hey, this is the height I want you to throw it at.
He went too low the first time.
Yeah, J. Cole was confused. His arms were getting caught up in his big old sweatshirt. Like, it was a mess, man.
He was so I feel like those moments, and even like the Shaq one, are not as, they don't feel as drawn out when you're watching on TV, because you have the announcers talking over them. You have, you know, like, some of it kind of feels like build up to the dunk, and it less, I think, a more energy seeps out in the actual building. But yeah, no, I feel like that's impressive to, like, put your fate in J. Cole's hands and hope it goes well. And when he went the second time and it worked, it was awesome. And the fact that J. Cole just decides to do his own dunk afterwards.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I actually missed the J. Cole dunk. I heard the J. Cole dunk, but I missed the actual dunk. So I'm actually proud that guy can actually get up and do that. So good for him. But
yeah, I don't think he made it.
Oh, he didn't? Oh.
It was really close. Although now let me double check that, because if I'm
don't be on this podcast slandering J. Cole, man. Uh oh. Maddie's gone. Hold on, we'll get her back.
Oh my gosh.
What did
Hello?
you
I don't know. I had the sound on when you called back, and that just like, I don't have an eardrum now.
Got you. Okay.
Where was I when?
You were checking, you were doing your fact checking on J. Cole so you don't slander him on the podcast.
Okay, perfect.
I can hear the dunk in the background. Are you watching the J. Cole attempt
I'm
to dunk?
watching it. I just watched Dennis Smith Jr. We're waiting. Here goes J. Cole. Little celebration. Here he goes. Here he goes.
Miss.
Miss.
Hey, he still got music.
Yeah, I mean, he touched the rim and the ball just bounced off of it, but like, man.
So he got rim checked? Oh my goodness. Anyway, yeah. Another rule. Okay, I said I was only gonna do. No, thank you. I said I was only going to do two rules. That was my housekeeper. I said I was only going to do one rule, actually, but I'm going to do two. The other rule is I think we should actually take an Olympic approach to the dunk contest, and we should have an expert group of dunkers place ratings and rankings or a rating system
Ooh, on types of
on
dunk.
types of dunk, the caliber of dunk, and then prior to the contest. We should. Now, I know these guys want to keep a lot of stuff secretive, but prior to the contest, they should submit the dunks that they have suggested or whatever, and then they should say, "Okay, this is the dunk that I'm going to do." So you could have like a baseline of difficulty in terms of like what kind of dunk you're doing. So we're just not having like this arbitrary, kind of just voting system where a guy gets a 50 just because he gets it after 5 attempts and it wows everybody, like. We should have point deductions for missed attempts, and we should have dunk basically rankings or a point system that ranks the degree of difficulty of each dunk.
Wow, this is getting real intense.
Look, we have 30 years of we have 30 plus years of dunk history, of slam dunk hit contest history in our books now. We should be able to have an accurate system as to how to judge this contest. Get Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins and all those guys to sit down and be like, "Look, this is what makes a dunk difficult. This, and this." Get Zach LaVine. You get all the former dunk contest guys to like come up with a system. I know they probably don't want to do that. They probably want to be doing other things at All-Star break, but it's not
I
that
like
hard.
and like deduct half a point for like vaulting over someone like Dennis Smith Jr. did with Dwayne Wade, as opposed to just jumping without the putting your like using your hands on their shoulders
Yeah,
thing.
and that's what Hami did with Shaq. He basically vaulted over him. Now, that's the vaulting over Shaq is a lot tougher
He did
than,
he didn't he barely touched him.
but he did touch him.
I got the benefit of replay, but Dennis Smith Jr. put both hands on Dwayne Wade's shoulders and
Yeah.
did the frog hop over. Tommy Moore did a like, let me stick out my hand to make sure I know where you are. It's like an outfielder feeling for the wall.
Yeah. I will say this about Hami. He was very, I think he put the people that were helping him in a position to succeed. And by that, I mean with Quavo at the end, he basically just had Quavo from Migos, if nobody's familiar. He's a hip hop artist with the group Migos out of Atlanta that's, raindrop, drop top, yada yada. But he's also apparently a really good basketball player. He's like killed the celebrity game 2 years in a row. But
He was really good with the what's the arcade shooting game?
Oh, Papa Shot.
Papa Shot. He was really good with Papa Shot.
Yeah.
Anyways.
No, Quavo can ball, man. But like basically you got to like take the margin of error out of these guys' hands because they're like yeah, they like sports, but they're rappers, they're performers, they're
They're not
musicians,
doing
they're
this every
actors.
day.
They're not throwing lobs every day. So basically, you have Quavo sit there perfectly still. Don't have Quavo doing any crazy stuff like you did with J. Cole, having to throw lobs and having to get your stuff calibrated. No, just have Quavo sit there and put the ball on his head and take it off of his head. And that's easy. That's easy enough. That's all Hami needed. So I thought Hami had a good combination of like, knowing what he could execute, doing it, And then also adding the flair for the moment, the dramatics, bringing out the ball cart, the Superman tearaway, Thunder jersey.
The best part of the Superman, like, he is so aware of where the cameras were, too, because before he does it, he, like, gives the camera a sneak peek of the Superman logo and, like, nods like it's, like, their little secret. And it's like, wow, you should be on TV.
Camera awareness, that's underrated. See, I didn't even pick that up. That's good. Yeah. Hamidou Diallo camera awareness. He should also get extra points for that, too. You know, solid.
What was the actual atmosphere like in the arena?
Well, look, the atmosphere gets drained when guys miss dunks and when guys don't execute dunks. So, like, it's not Hamidou Diallo's fault that the atmosphere wasn't good. It's the other three guys' fault. It's John Collins' fault for breaking an antique plane from the Wright brothers. Like, and taking 5 minutes.
That had
to set
to have been a replica. There's no way that was.
I don't know. I don't know, Maddie. We are in Charlotte. Maybe it was the original. No, it wasn't. But look, the atmosphere gets drained when guys are blowing dunks, and you had a bunch of guys blowing dunks, and Hamidou Diallo was really the only guy who didn't blow dunks. The 3-point contest atmosphere was way better, because you had some guys getting really hot. Joe Harris was incredible. Steph Curry was unbelievable. Buddy Hield played well. I almost think the skills competition or the skills challenge had a better atmosphere in certain aspects.
Exciting skills challenges I've seen. You have two guys making deep threes to win their round. Crazy.
Well, it was like Trae Young figured out a secret. Like he almost lost in the first round of De'Aaron Fox, but after that he figured out a secret to where he can just throw the ball ahead and run instead of having to dribble with the ball because he's fashioning everybody out there. So, like, he smoked Doncic, even though Doncic went for the half-court shot that didn't work. Trae Young beat him. And then he gets to the finals against Tatum, and he's beating Tatum. Like, he throws the ball ahead. He's faster than Tatum. He's a quicker dribbler. He hits the first pass through the little hoop, and then Tatum just pulls up from – yeah,
from so, half court.
I mean, there's not much. There's not much you can do about that.
But Trae Young, not quite from as far, but did basically the same thing to De'Aaron Fox in that first round.
Yeah, he did because he had to make up some ground because he missed his first pass, and then he came back and beat De'Aaron Fox, even though De'Aaron Fox beat him to the 3-point line for the last shot. So it kind of came back around to bite Trae Young, but I mean, if you lose the skills competition on a half-court shot, you can't really you just got to be like, well, I lost the skills competition on a half-court shot. And it wasn't even a half-court shot. It was like a half-court and a logo shot.
That was insane.
It was well behind half-court. It was impressive.
I feel like, granted, just from I haven't been to the All-Star game or All-Star weekend, so I'm taking what you just said. But I feel like the dunk contest is better on TV, and the 3-point contest is better live.
I think that's probably accurate. The three-point contest live, like, we were legitimately rooting on press row. We were like, come on, Steph, just hit them all. Hit them all. Because he started, I think maybe it was one round, he started where he made, like, every shot on the first two racks. And I was just like,
I think that was the final round.
Yeah, I was just like, hit them all, man. Like, I just want to see somebody just hit all these shots. And I know he can do it. So we were legitimately, like, we weren't cheering, but we were talking. And we were like, come on, man, get hot, Steph. Like, I heard guys saying, get hot. Come on, man, hit these shots. And it's like, we weren't rooting for a particular guy, but when any guy got hot, we just wanted him to hit all of the shots. And we knew that Steph Curry was the guy who could, you know, do it the most. But, Joe Harris, Buddy Hield, all those guys, we were pretty excited on press row. So it was a cool little experience to see that. And, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, and the dunk contest on TV, you get to see all the little, like, intricacies of each dunk because you get to see it in slow motion and –
yeah.
This, that, and the other.
Yeah, we're getting the replays, but they're up on the big board, and we're also doing other stuff while we're watching that. So Yeah, I guess other than that, Saturday is kind of a cluster because there's so much stuff going on in terms of the practices, just kind of the player interviews. You got a lot of players getting asked a lot of questions that they wouldn't normally get asked from international media or people who are trying to address things that might have to do with their team in the future. Like a bunch of people were asking Kevin Durant questions about free agency. Anthony Davis got bombarded with free agency questions, to which he comes out and says, I'm open to 29 teams. And then I start hitting Kevin Durant with a bunch of questions because basically I couldn't get close enough to Russell Westbrook to ask him anything legitimate. Not that I wanted to ask him a ton of questions, because he didn't particularly seem like he was in the mood. He was wearing sunglasses, so I was just like, yeah, this probably isn't the day. So I just didn't really have much to ask Russell Westbrook. I asked Paul George. I don't even know if I asked Paul George anything. I was in a pretty good position for him, but it was after some people cleared out. But Kevin
What was the
Durant.
most fun question? Oh, sorry.
Well, the most fun question. To me personally, I thought it was funny that Paul got a little. He got a little annoyed by one question. This guy asked him who does he predict will win the MVP, or who's his prediction for MVP favorite or something like that. And Paul goes, "What do you want me to say? James Harden? Giannis? Come on, man. Come on." And I was like, "Damn, Paul. Okay." I was like, "Man, you were having a good day until this guy just came in here and started asking MVP questions." I didn't really hear a lot of stuff. Mostly, I was kind of parked out on Durant because I had good position for him because he was after Paul George and Russell Westbrook. And Paul George and Russell Westbrook were kind of talking at the same time. Like, Paul started, Westbrook walked in, and then they both kind of were going simultaneously. So I had to kind of just pick. And by the time there were a ton of people already set up by Russell Westbrook. So I couldn't really get close enough to get good audio on him. And people started to clear out from Paul because some other guys started to show up, like Durant and Steph, and some of those other guys on the other teams. But I don't, to be honest with you, I don't have any questions from those two guys that I thought were very remarkable. I think
Fair
Westbrook
enough.
shot down an Embiid question. Embiid kind of didn't answer a Westbrook question. They clearly aren't very fond of each other. But yeah, I asked Kevin Durant questions about Westbrook, and Kevin Durant blamed the media, and I thought that was funny because that's, I mean, a lot of the weirdness around the Thunder Westbrook Durant situation was perpetuated by Durant's camp, and he still really hasn't taken responsibility for that, which I think is ridiculous. And I thought it was interesting that Russell basically said that the media made more of it too, because Russell went on that he went on the Kevin Hart Cold as Balls video, and
Yes, that was so funny.
it was good. It was good. And I think they taped that earlier in the season or something, because Russell's haircut is a lot different than it is now.
Yeah, it had to have been a little while ago.
It might have even been in the off season. But
I honestly, I've seen a few of those Coldest Balls shows. That might be my favorite one so far.
it was good. It was because it fit Russell's personality, because he took over the show, and that's very Westbrook for him to basically alpha the show and say, "Nope, it's the Russell Westbrook Coldest Ball show."
My show
And
now.
yeah, that was very Westbrook.
So good.
But yeah, in that show, Westbrook goes on and says basically that, the media probably made it more than it is. In terms of him and Durant, and I mean, I don't really think that that's true. Like, if people are talking, and the people reporting the talking, when Howard Beck came out with the report that Kevin Durant didn't like the style of play with Russell Westbrook, and not much had changed with Billy Donovan, he reported that same summer that Durant left. Like, Howard Beck wouldn't just go out there and put his name on the line for no nonsense. Like, those are people that were close to Durant saying that stuff. So it's not like we were just running with this narrative. The narrative was out there. These guys were not very happy with each other. Like, or at least Westbrook wasn't very happy with Durant. Durant probably wanted Russell to forgive him or whatever. But, you know, as time goes on, they want to put their shape on the narrative, and that's, I guess that's whatever. But as long as they're in a better place, that's fine. It's just funny that Kevin Durant is kind of just sort of in denial about certain things, like even the Nick Collison stuff. He's like, no, I didn't think about it being awkward or anything because I just wanted to be there for my guy or whatever and celebrate the teams that I played on. And I'm like, yeah, but you know, it can be awkward. I didn't say that, but I was just thinking to myself, like, man, like.
Like, it probably will be.
It will be. And, like, some weird chance might start. And, you know, but.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
My favorite moment from just scrolling through Twitter is Fred Katz posted this video of Bradley Beal at the podium, and Danny Green comes over with a microphone. I'm not sure whose microphone it was, but some station, and starts asking him questions. It honestly takes Bradley Beal a minute to figure out who it is, and then he's like, "So is it true that you're changing your son's name to Batmo?" And he just completely plays along with it, and it's amazing. And for 30 minutes I was walking around my apartment just giggling to myself, like, Batmobile.
Oh, that is pretty funny. See, I just got that. So man, I missed that one.
It's so good.
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah, Danny Green was like dropping in on a bunch of people's interviews. He did that with Joel Embiid. I was standing around that one too.
Probably wasn't as good as Batmobile because that is amazing.
No, I don't know if anything's going to top that one. That's pretty slick. My favorite thing was probably when Westbrook walked in, and he walked in with Noah, and it was the cutest thing I've ever seen in my entire life because they were dressed the same, and Noah just yells out. I think he yelled out Paul. He might have yelled out Ball because I was thinking about my nephew when he was a kid. My nephew just used to randomly yell Ball all the time. Anytime he saw a ball, he was just yelling Ball.
And that was one of my first words too.
I think Ball is really easy for kids to say. But he walks in and he said, and as soon as he's walking, like, Russell's looking in one direction and Noah's kind of facing the direction that Paul is on the podium, and Noah goes, "Paul," or he makes some noise similar to Ball or Paul, and then Russell turns and looks in that direction, and then he sees Paul and he's like, "Pico," or "Piggy," whatever. He's like, "Pico," and some weird nickname he has for Paul. But it was just like, it was super cute, and little Westbrook is starting to have like a little personality, and that's the first time I think I've actually heard him heard him say words. So it's interesting. It'll be cool when he starts, you know, calling us champ and, you know, giving us side eyes and such.
He's the one saying next question.
Yeah, it's gonna be even better when he's next questioning us and you know, doing interesting things like that. But that was cute. Other than that, yesterday was a cluster. I'm staying in this area called the Epicenter in Charlotte. If people out there are probably familiar with it, if they've been to Charlotte, it's basically like this massive hub of restaurants and clubs and hotels. And the NBA puts most of the writers here because it's convenient to the arena and you can walk to the arena. The only problem is a lot of other fans and such stay here too. And it just turns into this massive, like, this mass of humanity where everybody's trying to go to the same places and everybody's trying to get food in, like, the same general area, and you can't get anything done. And we have these credentials that are supposed to get us access to certain places. And first world problem, like, I couldn't get into the media room for media hospitality after Friday's events. Because every time I went to one little checkpoint, one of the police officers would say, "No, you got to go around here and you got to get a wristband." Then I go to the place where you got to get a wristband. They'd be like, "No, you got to go up to the third floor and you got to get here." Oh. Then I go up to the third floor and they'd be like, "No, you got to go around here." And then I go here and then they'd be like, "No, we're at capacity. You can't get in." And basically, I spent 30 minutes going up elevators, downstairs, and ultimately not getting to my destination. Right. So at that point, I was like, I quit. I'm not doing this. I'm going back to my room. And I went back to my room at the A-Loft and stopped at their bar before and sat down and chilled for a little bit, but then went back to my room. But yeah, it's been a cluster. I must say I probably had more pleasant All-Star experiences, but these last 2 days have been kind of chaotic.
Yikes.
I will say this. I will close the podcast on this note for any of the people on the podcast who know that I'm a massive soccer fan, and Maddie, you could appreciate a little soccer too because you covered it in Salt Lake. So I'm walking down the street last night after I get out of the dunk contest, and there's this guy, and he's walking up the street outside the Spectrum Center, and he's got a hoodie on. It's a red hoodie. And there's one other guy walking with him. And I look at his hoodie for a second, and I'm like, I think that's an Arsenal hoodie. And then, like, I look at him again, and then I can, like, feel my body kind of, like, seize up because I'm like, that's Thierry Henry.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I immediately start walking toward him. And, like, I'm not controlling my body at this point because I'm just like, I can't control my body. So I'm just like, that's Thierry Henry. So I'm walking toward him, and I go, Thierry Henry. And he looks at me, and I just shake his hand, and I go, look, man, I appreciate you. Thank you for what you've done. And I, like, had all these thoughts running through my head, like, wanting to ask him very meticulous questions about his career and, like, certain goals and things like that. And I had all these, like, YouTube clips going through my head and all these games I watched. But then I just told him that. And he was trying to get away from me because he was clearly going somewhere. And I'm sure...
And you're like, no, don't do me.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'd been stopped by people. But it's All-Star Weekend. Like,
he's not one of those small soccer players who can just, like... sneak places.
Yeah, but at the same time, if he's walking, like, if he's walking from that epicenter area, or like the Ritz-Carlton, which is around the epicenter, and there are so many people in that area, and I'll just go ahead and flat out say it, there are so many black people in that area, because there are a ton of black people out down here for All-Star, and it's like the Black Super Bowl. So if you're just walking with a hoodie on, you can just... I'm sure I passed a bunch of people who are relatively famous that I didn't even realize who they were because there's just so many people out here. So especially like a soccer star, I could probably see that, because like soccer guys they're not 6'5", they're not 6'8". Like, he looked like he was a legit 6'1". So there are a lot of 6'1" guys out here just walking around. So like, he's just walking with one other guy, and I flag him down. I'm freaking out. And I didn't even have time to digest it. And I turn around, and I'm, like, so excited. I was about to, like, get out my phone and start texting all my friends and stuff because that guy's one of the greatest strikers of all time, man. Like, for people on the podcast who don't understand, please go Google Thierry Henry and just, like, even if you're not someone who appreciates or, like, doesn't watch soccer, like, just go Google a highlight reel of this guy's goals, and you'll be like, yo, that's impressive. Like, this guy is – in terms of name recognition, in his time, he was of that Messi ilk, of that Cristiano Ronaldo ilk. Like, he was the predecessor to those guys. So,
and if you're having trouble spelling, his last name is spelled
Henry,
like Henry.
Henry, yes. Just Google Henry, France, soccer, Arsenal, whatever. So then I turn around, and I'm walking back, and I'm like, oh, my God. And this is within a span of, like, maybe 15 seconds. And then this group of like maybe 6 or 7 guys is walking toward me now. And one of them is dressed in all black and he's got a hoodie on. And I look at him and I look at him again. And I've seen this guy before because he was in Oklahoma City. He came for a game against the Energy FC because I think he was playing for like the Phoenix team. And it's Didier Drogba. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
And
what? Okay. Sorry. Continue.
And look, Didier Drogba's not on the level of a Thierry Henry because he's not. But this guy is, you know, probably one of the greatest players in like Ivory Coast history. He played for Chelsea, won Champions League with Chelsea. He was an international soccer star. Just an incredible player. And I just go, Didier Drogba. Like, I just say his full name, and he turns around and he looks at me, and by that point I've just like lost all control of my my fandom and bodily functions and maturity. I'm 33 years old. I look this guy dead in his face and I go, "You're the shit."
Petting his face?
No, I look him dead in his face and I go,
I go, I was like, "Oh, you really did lose control."
No, I looked him right in his face and I go, "You're the shit, man." That's like, I couldn't even keep it together anymore. I was like, whatever. Like, I was like, I quit. I'm out of here. So I met two of like the greatest, probably, forward strikers of the past, you know, 15 years in a span of 15 seconds. And he was also in a relative hurry to his destination, so he looked kind of annoyed and he was moving on. But it was madness. It was flipping madness. And you know, I spent the entire day around basketball players, but I'm around basketball players all the time. And to me, like, that was the highlight of All-Star Weekend, like being able to like see like guys that I really looked up to when I was like playing soccer as a kid and in college and stuff. So that was big time. That was the highlight of Charlotte for me.
Yeah. It's funny in our profession, right? You don't get starstruck like very often.
Right.
And so when you like step into situations where you can, it's always it just comes right. I think the worst for me, Sue Bird is the most I've ever been starstruck.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I tell people, like, it's more like the people I'm not expecting to see are the ones that I get starstruck by. Like, for instance, I run into Ruth Riley a couple of times, and I don't know if people out there are familiar with Ruth Riley, but she was, you know, she won a national championship with Notre Dame in, like, the early 2000s. She was an outstanding player, and I think I run into her like maybe three or four times, and every time I run into her, I'm kind of like, whoa, that's Ruth Riley. Like, maybe it's because it was from a different time when I was young and like I had people that I looked up to in sports, or I was like following sports more closely as like a fan and like appreciated that more as somebody who wasn't involved in it on a day-to-day basis. But like, she's always just incredible to me. Like, I see her and she's such a nice person. I'm just like, man, like, I used to watch you like just crush teams. Like, that team was a machine. So like, every time I see these people from my past or like the people I used to watch in my childhood, I'm like, dang, like, you're a real person. Like, sometimes I'd see like a lot of the guys that I used to watch growing up have gone into like front offices or they like work for teams now, and I'll see those guys and I'll get more excited than seeing like LeBron James or something. Like, I saw like Trajan Langdon, who played for Duke in the mid to late 90s on some incredible Duke teams, and I really liked Duke when I was a kid, judge me if you will. He worked for I think he's a executive with the Brooklyn Nets, excuse me, and I saw him in a game one time sitting courtside at the Thunder game, and I just walked up to him and I was like, yo, like, I used to watch you like play on this team and y'all were blah, 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 incredible, blah. And basically, like, Trajan Langdon was J.J. Redick before J.J. Redick was J.J. Redick at Duke. And like, that's the kind of stuff that trips me out when I see these guys I used to watch when I was a kid and they're just standing like 3 feet from me, and I'm like, whoa, like, I can talk to you and nobody's gonna tell me anything. This is crazy. I can talk to those guys easier than I can Russell Westbrook or Paul George because, you know, they don't have somebody next to them being like, hey, no more questions for Paul George and Russell Westbrook. So anyway, I ramble. Maddie, any thoughts on tonight's game?
Oh, I'm excited for it. It's going to be fun.
What a thought.
Drafted two very different. Giannis likes his big men, so it'll be interesting to see how two very teams that are set up to play very different styles go against each other in a game that, you know, doesn't have much defense usually.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see one if it's close, because I think Team LeBron clearly has more shooters. And then if it is close, how the ball is distributed, who you know, gets the touches late in the game. That kind of hierarchy, how that plays out. You know, Russell and Paul George have a chance to be some alpha dogs on this Giannis team if it comes down to the last few minutes. So it'll be interesting to see if the game's close. If not, oh well, it's an All-Star game.
I think it'll be fun anyway.
It'll be fun anyway. I think that's a good place to wrap it up. I've worn down our audience with enough soccer talk for tonight, or today rather. thanks for joining us on the Thunder Buddies podcast. We'll be back after the All-Star game tonight. So quick turnaround for a couple of podcasts. This one went way longer than I thought it would, but you know,
yeah.
Way longer. Too much talking. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Download, share. Give as a gift for Easter, which is coming up. And we will see you after tonight's All-Star game.